Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
You know, we've officially arrived in the holiday season of 2025, right? The month of November is kind of the kickoff month, right? I mean, it's my favorite time of the year, so I already got my Christmas tree up. As a matter of fact, I put it up on Halloween because I'm sending the devil a message, and we don't fool with that. I mean, you know, we just don't do Halloween, and that's what I've chosen for my family. We've chosen for our family, so I send the enemy a message real quick and tell him, nope, up in this house, the only spirit allowed is the Holy Spirit. So on Halloween night, the manger was on my front porch. Mm-hmm. So anyway, actually, the truth is I will kick off the holiday, Susan, as soon as Pastor Bob lets me. I mean, I was trying to do it October 1st. He's like, no, you need to settle down, girl. You need to settle down and wait a minute. But, you know, I love this time of the year because this is a time of the year where we get to kind of reflect over the whole year and just focus on the goodness of God, the blessings that God has brought us throughout the whole year. And then also, a lot of us get to take some time off to spend with our family for the holidays, right? Yeah. However, despite the joy that the holiday season brings, sometimes it's a little bit of a struggle when it comes to getting together with family over the holidays. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So before I get started, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for who you are. You are truly worthy. You are holy. You're majestic and beautiful, Lord, and you love us so much. And God, we just bring everything to you this morning. We bring our hopes, our dreams, our disappointments, Lord, our hurts, and our fear, Lord. Whatever we're holding on to, Father, we bring it all to you and we lay it at your feet. And we ask you to mold it and shape it and make us into who you created us to be. Lord, I pray that your word will go through me. Push me out of the way, God. I surrender my mind, my will, my vocal cords, the very breath in my lungs. Lord, I surrender it to you, and I ask you to speak through me. Have your way, God, and let us all walk away from here different today, changed by the power of your Holy Spirit and your holy word. We love you, God, and we just pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So let me ask you a question. Does anybody in here do the group text thing? You know, like they're annoying sometimes, just saying. But, you know, like the whole family group text thing. Well, we do because it's just easier to communicate with everybody all at once, right? Now, I don't know who started it in our family. It might have been one of the girls trying to keep us all informed about the kids' ball games. I don't know. But it works, right? There's like, now our family text group, there's like 9 of us in there. And so it's super convenient, but man, sometimes it can get wild, like real fast. You know, let me just give you an example. So the other day I sent a group message out to the family group and I'm trying to figure out what's the plan for Thanksgiving, right? I'm just trying to figure out who's having it, who's doing what, right? Simple question. What's the plan, right? And then one minute we're talking about turkey or ham or whatever, and the next minute, you know, there's memes flying all around. Somebody brought up Donald Jonquavius Trump. I'm seeing pictures of the grandkids, some AI stuff. It was just, and then Uncle Craig is trolling Grace and Terry, and it's like, I'm like, wait a minute. We're talking about plans for New Year's Eve? And I'm like, wait, I don't even know what Thanksgiving's plan is. I still don't really know what the plan is. But to be honest with you, you know, these text message chains are actually sound a lot like our family in-person conversations, too. I mean, we don't really filter stuff in my house, not in the family, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but we don't filter out a lot. We kind of just say what we're thinking with each other, you know, and that's not necessarily a good or bad thing. You just got to know your audience. You got to know what you're doing, who you're talking to. And most people do understand that it's probably best to avoid having deep conversations via text messages, right? We pretty much all know that. But how do you handle face-to-face, in-person conversations that might lead to misunderstandings and hurt feelings? How do you handle that? Well, James, the brother of Jesus, gives us some direction about that. If you brought your Bibles, open them up to the book of James, and we're going to read it together. Now, James is in the New Testament. It's right after the book of Hebrews, kind of towards the end of the New Testament. Y'all brought y'all's paper Bibles, right? I'm going to need to see some paper Bibles. Okay, watch. When the internet goes down, what y'all going to do? I'm telling you, something about a paper Bible, it's just a weightiness to it. You know, and you can look at it and you can ponder over it. And there's no pop-up ads on a paper Bible. I'm just saying. Are y'all there yet? Okay, James chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 19, and this is what it says. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, this applies to whether you're dealing with friends or family, anyone for that matter. But today I'm going to focus on family. This is the holiday season, and a lot of us, like I said, are going to be gathering with our family, and sometimes we don't all see eye to eye on some things. And James has given us good biblical wisdom, y'all. That's right. He's saying that to keep things from going sideways in our conversations, it's best to listen before we speak. And be intentional with our words. Be slow to speak. Don't just say what's on the top of your head. A lot of misunderstandings could be avoided if people would just listen. And listen with your whole heart, with an open heart and an open mind, instead of just trying to get your point across. Am I talking to somebody this morning? You can just look, amen. You ain't got to say amen. But the truth is, listening is not real popular these days. I mean, people out there shouting and screaming over each other, not even trying to have a meaningful conversation, just wiling out. But you know what? That's not for us as Christians.
That's right.
We don't need to be acting like that, y'all. And even if someone says something that kind of triggers you, you don't have to respond with all that foolishness.
That's right.
Don't react with your words. Respond. And respond with intentionality. Don't react. Respond. And respond with intentionality.
Yeah.
And I know that's probably easier said than done for a lot of people. I understand that. And there will be times when people pop off at you and it sets you off. So what do you do then? How do you de-escalate when you're already angry?
Right.
Maybe the better question is, how do you move past the anger and offense and get back to a place of peace in your heart?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to show you two ways to do that. Very simple ways. First one, lower your expectations of others. And focus on and be thankful for God's grace in your life. You know, one of Pastor Bob's famous lines is unrealistic expectations. And the first time I heard him say it was probably about 15 years ago. We had a property management client, and no matter what we did, we just couldn't please her. She'd be asking us to do crazy stuff, break the law, do that. Ma'am, no ma'am. I have a license and you're not going to make me lose it, okay? But she had unrealistic expectations. And that happens a lot in our relationships, y'all. We have an idea of what we expect, and it's either something the other person doesn't even know about, or it's something they cannot do.
That's good.
So our expectation is unrealistic.
Right.
Yet, we somehow believe the other person should live up to it. And this could be a real issue for Christians. You know why? Because we know what the Bible says. We understand there's a standard by which we're supposed to live. We're called to live. Jesus tells us, love others, act justly, show honor and respect, forgive people. Those kind of things. And for the most part, believers, we do our best to live those out, right? But the issue is when we expect an unbeliever to live like a believer, we just put unrealistic expectations on them, y'all. They're not like us. And I don't mean that in a condescending way. It's the truth. An unbeliever may be able to act right some of the time. I mean, that's just manners or decent human behavior, right? But the Bible is very clear that only Jesus can change a heart. And that's exactly why unbelievers live the way they do and don't see anything wrong with it. They don't see anything wrong with how they treat people. They don't know Jesus like that. They might have heard about him. I mean, yeah, you might have been, unless you're living in a vapor somewhere, I'm sure they've heard about him. But that doesn't mean they've made a decision to live as he's called us to live. They haven't necessarily asked him to be their savior. And the Bible tells us that those who don't know Jesus, to them, the gospel is foolishness. It's foolishness. 2 Corinthians 4:4 even says that Satan has blinded the mind of unbelievers. So they can't even receive the gospel of Jesus without the help of the Holy Spirit. And if you're a believer and you're expecting an unbeliever to live like you do or to think like you do, it's not going to happen. Not until they make a decision for Jesus. Because you see, when you give your life to Christ, you are filled with the Holy Spirit in that moment. And it's the Spirit of God living inside every believer that helps us live according to the Word of God. Instead of just living by our feelings and saying and doing whatever we feel like doing. But unbelievers don't have the Holy Spirit to guide them. So we can't expect them to do something they're incapable of doing. To avoid misunderstandings and hurt feelings, sometimes we just have to lower our expectations, y'all. And we need to remember that mankind is fallen. We're born with an unregenerate heart. And that means that we are inherently prone to evil, y'all. Jeremiah 17:9 says that. The heart is evil through and through. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, and this is important, for people will be lovers of self, in other words, selfish, lovers of money, that's greedy, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, in other words, cold-hearted and sometimes just mean, unappeasable, you can't ever satisfy them, slanderous. That's that mess talking when you don't even try to worry about what the truth is. You're just talking. Without self-control, not loving. It goes on and on and on. These are the characteristics of an unregenerate heart. Someone who doesn't live for Jesus. However, if we're all going to be honest, some of us believers have exhibited some of these traits too. I'm just saying, we got to be real careful judging other people, what they say or do, because we all fall short. We're all imperfect and we need a Savior. So let's just keep realistic expectations on both ourselves. Some of us are too hard on ourselves and on others. And sometimes, and I want you to hear me on this, sometimes it means you don't expect anything from certain people. There are certain people you're expecting things from, and you might need to check your expectations. Not everybody, but certain people. Because you know what? If we don't expect things from someone, we won't be disappointed if they don't deliver it. Sometimes we got to let people off the hook, y'all. Have you ever considered that you may be expecting someone to give you something that they're not even capable of giving you? So if you'll let go of your expectations, you won't have a chance to get angry or offended by what they say or do, or what they don't say, or what they don't do. Part of living for Jesus, y'all, means that we accept people where they are. Now, I want you to notice, I didn't say as they are, because some people don't know who they are. They're believing the lie that the enemy is telling them, this is who you are. We're not coming into an agreement with that. We don't accept them as they are, we accept them where they are.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Just love others where they are in their beliefs and then pray that their eyes of enlightenment will be open to the truth of God. Yeah. That's it. That's it. Set yourself free. That's it. Ooh, I'm so thirsty. This morning's word got me dry mouth. All right. To avoid anger and offense, let's just lower our expectations of others and let's focus on and be thankful for the grace of God in our own lives. Now, I want to give you the definition of God's grace. And sometimes people don't really get it. They think, let me give you the definition of it. God's grace is his unearned favor. It's God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy, that's a pardon. That's God not giving us what we do deserve. But grace, that's God promoting us. That's God giving us good things that we don't deserve and we can never earn it. And there's different types of God's grace. And I preached a sermon on that a while back. There's different kinds of God's grace, but saving grace is for everybody. Saving grace is the grace of God that covers the lost, unbelieving heart, that makes amends for, right? It's the grace that's revealed in his kindness, because the Bible says it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. You see, here's the thing. God wants to have a personal relationship with every single person he's ever created. And in order to have that relationship, God's been giving us all grace. If you look back over your life, I promise you, you will see God's saving grace in your life, preserving you from things that should have happened to you because you were out there doing stuff you shouldn't have been doing, right? Preserving you when someone else was wilding out, right? Keeping you in your right mind when all these things were happening and you thought you were going to lose your mind. That was God's saving grace. In fact, the fact that you're sitting here right now is part of God's grace on your life. And you know why? It's because God is still pursuing you. He's still seeking that intimate relationship with you. Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, while you were out there doing what you were doing, saying what you were saying, hello? While we were still sinners, God sent Jesus to die for our sins. That is grace. Because you know what? We deserve death for our sins. We don't deserve forgiveness. That's not me saying that. That's Romans 3:23. Right. Romans 3:23 says that we all sin. And in Romans 6:23, it says that the penalty for our sin is death. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
But God. Man, if you don't remember two words in your life, remember those words. But God. He gets the final say. But God, in his love and grace, offers us forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And it's free. Free 99, y'all. Free. In fact, you can't even earn it. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You just have to receive it. God has extended a tremendous amount of grace on everybody in this room. In fact, it's God's grace that gave you the life you're living right now.
Right.
You didn't just show up on this planet.
Come on now.
No.
Come on.
No. You were born at the right time to the right parents. Doesn't matter what they did or right or wrong. Those are the people God picked to get you here. Y'all got somebody in here you need to hear that again.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who your mama was, who your daddy was, what kind of family you grew up in, whether you had a family or not, whether you grew up here or there and everywhere. That is irrelevant to the fact that God created you for a plan and a purpose right now. Right now. He's intentional. God is intentional. And his timing is strategic. You were born in the right generation. He has a plan and purpose for your life in the right generation. And his plan and purpose was hand created for God, by God, for you.
Yes.
That's God's grace on your life.
Yes.
He didn't have to do that, y'all.
Yes.
He chose to do that because he loves you so much.
Yes.
And there's another thing about God's grace. It's not a one-time thing, y'all.
Thank you, Lord.
It's always been there. And it's still there. It is endless, immeasurable. It's all over your life. And when you consider all of that, you can't help but be grateful.
Amen.
When you look back over all the times that God saved you, preserved you, provided for you, you can't help but have a grateful heart. I mean, think about it. And you know what? It's a grateful heart that helps us extend grace to others. To listen before we speak, to choose our words carefully, and not allow anger to flood our hearts and minds. We got to be careful with anger, y'all. Don't let it into your heart. Because if it's allowed to get into your heart and take root, it'll grow a root of bitterness and offense. And once all that sets in, all kinds of evil is going to follow. James warns us about this. He said that human anger does not produce the righteousness of God that God wants. And then James goes on to say, starting in chapter 1, verse 26, he says that those who consider themselves religious, yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. The religion God accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world, by culture. James is saying if anyone considers themselves to be in right standing with God, yet they don't watch what they say, they're fooling themselves and their religion is pointless. And it's pointless, y'all, because it's just posturing. It's fake. It's not authentic. Luke 6:45 reminds us that we speak from what's in our hearts. So if you're not watching your mouth, what's really in your heart? Righteousness happens by keeping our hearts pure. Isaiah says that our good deeds are like filthy rags before a holy God. Religion tells us you got to do, and then you're going to be. No. Righteousness comes from a heart posture that's aligned with God. We have to refuse to let culture influence how we live our lives. Because you know what? As a believer, we live for Jesus. That is true religion. Real righteousness. You see, when our hearts are pure, we're not ascribing motives to people, what people they say or what they do. We're not trying to say, oh, well, they really meant this. Where's your heart on that? We don't ascribe motives to that. We're open to listening first. We're not so quick to speak. And we're actually listening to understand, not to be understood. And when we do that, it allows us to pump the brakes on anger. We won't get so worked up so quickly. And we don't let anger take over. And that means we will be less likely to get offended by what people say or do, or don't say or don't do. Y'all, we have to avoid offense at all costs. I mean, avoid it like the plague. Because offense is the quickest way to ruin a relationship. Somebody says something or does something, you interpret it from your paradigm, and we all have a paradigm. We all have a filter through which we filter things. It's a lens. It's a personal lens. And you filter what they say or do through that, and the next thing you know, you're mad. You're offended. And there goes the relationship. Instead of all that, how about we just give people the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah, come on.
We just give them some grace.
Yeah.
And we got to remember, our expectations might not line up with theirs. Brandon, if you'll come. You know, I have this habit that drives Pastor Bob a little crazy sometimes. I mean, you know, I'm trying. Huh? Lord help me. Anyway, I store pots in my oven. I don't see anything wrong with that. I've been doing that my whole life. It's just what you do. The comal, the whatever, it's in there. I mean, I got a lot of cabinets in my kitchen, but you know, it's just easier. You know, this is what I do. Well, he never heard of such a thing. I mean, he's like, this is crazy, right? We got all these cabinets. What's wrong with you, woman? And so he'll go in the kitchen and he'll just turn the oven on. And I'm like, I'm trying to enjoy the nice smell in my house. And all of a sudden, it smells like burnt plastic, burnt metal. And I'm like, what is it? And I know exactly what it is. I know what he's in there doing. The minute I hear the door open, it's, Lord forgive me. Sometimes I should probably say, hey, babe, check the oven. But, you know, it's just sometimes I don't be thinking about it. And I'm smelling that. And I'm like, oh, man, here we go again. And then he has the nerve to come and get mad at me. Why do you always do this? And I'm like, why you not look? You know I do this. We've been married for 20 years. Why do I still have to have this conversation with you? And then he tells me this. I tell him that. And the next thing you know, we're in this deep, intense fellowship over pots in the oven. And you know why? It's because we both had unrealistic expectations. He didn't expect the pots to be there. I expected them to. Friends, if we're going to say, if we say we're followers of Jesus, then we got to act like him. And Jesus doesn't get angry when we don't live up to his expectations. He doesn't expect us to do things we might not even be capable of doing. Jesus knows we all need grace, and he gives it to us freely, immeasurably, however much you need. Shouldn't we do the same? Shouldn't we do the same? Now, before I close, I have to say something. I know that there are people here today, and you've been deeply hurt in a relationship, and maybe you've tried to make things right. Another person just, they won't accept what they've done. There's no repentance there. And sometimes being around that is too hard on you. God doesn't want that for you. So if they're not repentant and you've done what you can to reconcile, it's okay if you just love them at a distance. I want you to have peace this morning and know that it is okay to love some people from a distance. That's okay. Romans 12:18 says that as much as it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Sometimes there might be somebody in your life, they don't want to have peace with you. They just don't want to live at peace. You may need to put some space between you and them just to maintain the peace. It's okay to love people from a distance. In fact, sometimes love looks like keeping your distance from some people and then praying for them so that you can guard your heart. Because the Bible does say, guard your heart. So maybe there's some space that needs to be maintained there for a while. Now, it's not an excuse to try to reconcile a broken relationship. That's not an excuse. But if you've done all you can to try to reconcile with that person, you've asked for forgiveness, you've forgiven them, and that other person isn't there yet, it's okay to walk away. Put some distance, pray for them, and then make sure you keep your heart pure by forgiving them. And if you need to, forgive yourself. Sometimes we find it so hard to forgive ourselves more than anything else. Forgive yourself. Remember, we all fall short of the glory of the Lord. We all do. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes you need to forgive yourself. God knows what happened, and he will work it out in his good timing one way or another. All you have to do is your part and forgive. And even if you have to keep forgiving them over and over and over, that's okay. Forgiveness is not a feeling. See, we get it twisted. We think, oh, I got to feel. No. You don't got to feel it. You just got to do it. It's a choice. It's like love. It's a choice. And you just keep choosing to obey God. Say, Lord, I choose and I purpose to obey you and forgive them, and I forgive myself. And you just do it again and again and again. And the more you actually do that, then the feeling will come. It'll come. Walk in obedience to God and let him work it out. As we move into this holiday season, let's look forward. Let's look forward to the time we're going to spend with our family, with those that we love. And let's always keep this mindset, y'all. I'm going to listen first. I'm going to speak less. I'm not going to let anger take root in my heart. I'm going to show grace, realizing that my expectations might not be the same as someone else's, and they might not know what you expect. And even if they did, maybe that's not something they're capable of doing now. If you lower your expectations of others and be mindful of and thankful for the grace of God in your own life, anger and offense won't have a chance to take root in your life. And your holidays, your life, and your relationships will be rich and full of joy. Amen? Will you bow your heads, please? Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit right now in this moment is doing a work in our hearts. God, I just thank you for your word. It's so powerful. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It just cuts through the wrong thought patterns and the hard hearts, Father. It just breaks up the ground of hard hearts, hearts that we've built walls around to protect us. Father, I just pray your word cuts it through that, breaks it down, and allows a soft heart to come in all of us today, Father. Thank you for your healing, your compassion, and your grace, God. We thank you that your grace is sufficient. It's everything we need. However much we need, Lord, it's immeasurable. It's endless. And we thank you and we praise you for that, Lord. Thank you that you loved us so much to just give us your grace freely. And Lord, even when we're stuck in sin, you still love us. You still give us grace. You know we're struggling. Lord, thank you that you see and you know our hearts, Father. And I pray, Father, you just continue to do a good work in all of our hearts, Lord. Draw us closer to you. Father, give us the strength we need to let go of some habits, to let go of some mindsets that don't line up with your word. Lord, help us walk in what you have for us all the days of our lives, Father. And I pray, Lord, that your word will land down into our hearts and that we'll take it and we'll grow from it and we'll grow closer to you and learn to love those around us, those that you've given us for relationship. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. You guys will just keep your heads bowed and let's just stay in this holy moment. If you have never asked Jesus to be the Savior of your life and you know you need a Savior, you're feeling that tug on your heart right now, that is the Holy Spirit drawing you in. If that's you, or maybe you've given your life to Christ and you've done some things and you want to get back in alignment with the Lord, Jesus is calling you right now. He's calling you back to himself, to that intimate, beautiful relationship with God. And that can be you. That can be your story right now. All you have to do is just a simple prayer. You mean it with your whole heart and Jesus will come into your heart, into your life, and you will not be the same ever again. And the Holy Spirit will give you the power you need to live out a life that is pleasing to the Lord. If that's what you want today, just repeat this prayer after me. And I'm going to ask believers all over the room to repeat it as well, just to encourage those who are making a decision for Jesus. Say, "Dear Lord, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me and wash me clean. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name.